You are listening to TKO on CFRU Radio 93.3 FM in Guelph, Ontario, and available worldwide at CFRU.ca. What is happening, everybody? What is good with y'all? It's your girl Janan right here on TKO. As you already know, here on TKO, all we talk about is mixed martial arts, also known as MMA, and other combat sports too. We also discuss the issues that surround the world of fighting and talk about notable fighters and athletes and how they all got started in the game and, of course, where they are now. So what is happening, y'all? I hope that everybody is having a fantastic day and a phenomenal week so far. Actually, before we start with the contents of the show, I just want to use this platform and opportunity to say happy 44th birthday to our beloved radio station here at CFRU 93.3 FM on February 1st, Thursday, February 1st, which is the day, actually, coincidentally, the day that TKO would get broadcasted from the radio, Thursdays. It is officially the 44th birthday of CFRU Radio, and I just wanted to, you know, take this opportunity to say thank you to this phenomenal family that we have here in the radio. And if it weren't because of their love and support, we as TKO Nation, we would not be here right now. And cannot emphasize enough how phenomenal the vibe is here, and just an amazing opportunity to get exposure to broadcasting, to radio, to podcasting, to community work. And it's just such an amazing environment to be working in. So shout out to all of our Frubies out there, and happy birthday to CFRU. So yeah, actually dedicating this episode to CFRU Radio. But yeah, man, so excited for that. I was actually on a phone call with one of my friends today before I started recording this episode, and just talking to her about how much the radio means to me and how much the radio changed my life for the better. And the radio honestly feels like a second home, and not just any radio station, CFRU radio station. So shout out to them. We love them so much. All right. So there's been a lot happening, I guess, in the world, specifically the world of combat sports. You already know. We've been having a bunch of scandals go down over the past few days, mostly related to the world of professional wrestling, the WWE. And you might have heard about these scandals on your own, but today we will talk about them more officially, I guess, and talk about what these things actually mean for the organization. So I think that's something that I'll start the show with, just talking about what the heck is going on in the world of professional wrestling? What is happening in their management right now? What does it mean for the whole organization, right? So those are the type of things that we are going to be attending to. In addition to that, there's been some new fight announcements for UFC 300, which is coming up very soon. And I have personally become really hyped about this fight card, because I feel like the more time goes by, the more stacked this fight card is actually getting. I mean, rightfully so. It's such a milestone event, UFC 300. Of course, you're going to have to make it big. And anyways, I have so much to talk about that in that aspect as well. So today I will be talking about that as well, just previewing some of the fights that you should be watching out for, some new fights that have been announced, some fights that have been somewhat rumored, but very close to getting done as well for UFC 300. So those are some of the things that we have lined up for today. Super duper excited. I really cannot wait. All right. And now, without further ado, let's get started. Okay, so first things first, talking about the WWE, a lot is happening in that realm. And So I talked about the WWE in a positive manner last week because the WWE has actually signed a deal with Netflix to broadcast some of their events on Netflix starting 2025, which is great for their company, for the fans, for everybody involved, right? Interestingly enough, soon after that announcement was put out, somebody, I meant it's not like an anonymous person, it's somebody that we know from the WWE. They put out screenshots of some conversations that they were having many years ago with Vince McMahon, the president of the WWE. And these conversations, let's just say, they're not PG content. And they were actually very disturbing conversations that were had in terms of sexual assault and just not good things at all. So this turned out to be actually true. And this just stirred up a bunch of stuff in the WWE. And Vince McMahon, who was accused of having all these conversations with this individual without even like without there being a court case of any sort or anything, he quit all of his positions in the WWE and in the parent company of the WWE, TKO. So that's been the news. And I was actually listening to some trusted news outlets out there because they also have podcasts, and just listening to different people's takes on this subject. And you know, this is not the first time that Vince McMahon has announced to leave the company for whatever reason. But this time around, it seems like things are, I mean, this subject matter is nothing to be joked about at all. And whenever an allegation is brought forward, of course, it has to be taken seriously. And I feel like we can sense the gravity of the matter, and that, you know, again, like we didn't have a court case or anything, but Vince just kind of, he called it quits because I guess he didn't want to be going out in a shameful manner, in an embarrassing manner, which kind of gives out the vibe that he kind of also senses that he has been guilty in all of this. And that's why he decided to take that first step of just calling it quits on himself, which I thought was really interesting. But nonetheless, this has been the case. And there's just so much going on for the WWE. And I feel like this is probably one of the biggest, most serious things that has happened to the organization and has happened to the McMahon family. Because we know that, you know, the McMahon family, when they started the organization, when they transformed WWF to WWE, you know, obviously the family sacrificed a bunch of things. And Vince McMahon himself, I mean, just the comments on his business mindset, he's a very business savvy person, and he knows exactly what he's doing when it's anything business related, him and his son and just his whole family. That being said, if all the allegations are indeed true, the man is screwed, and it's not looking good for him, and it's not the sort of action that is forgivable, in my opinion anyways, because, you know, these conversations were had, a female individual was made uncomfortable at the other end of this, and we should be respecting her comfort and privacy at the same time. And in this case, I just found it a little bit weird that Vince, you know, after only like maybe a couple days after these allegations came out, Vince just quit altogether. And yeah, seems like it's looking pretty serious as of now. And we don't know what the future holds for the company now. And it's just, it's crazy because I remember saying on the show last week before all this stuff came out, when I was talking about their deal with Netflix and just how far they've come and how successful they are as a sports entertainment company, never would I ever think that there would be anything that will bring down the company at any point in time. Even if you were to ask me, hey, where should I buy stocks from? I would say buy stocks from TKO, the parent company of WWE, because, you know, when you mix sports and entertainment, that's a very good combination in terms of money making. In my opinion, like, entertainment and stuff aside, but when it comes to business, this is a very safe and reliable business. Can always make money from, you know, especially with the WWE, you know, making up different scenarios, hiring different athletes, and just, you know, just having a really nice organization. But then this happened, and it's not looking too good for Vince, which I feel like he also kind of sensed himself, hence why he quit altogether. But if anything else were to come up, I'm definitely going to let you guys know. Yeah, things are looking really shaky for the WWE and for the McMahon family. And I'm really curious to see what the future holds for the company now. And just what's going to happen. And who's going to take new leadership of the company. What is going to go on? And just... yeah, like, I'm really curious to see what the future holds for the company. So if anything comes up, I'll definitely let you guys know. But this is as far as we're like, we've been told about what actually happened. And yeah, like, the current extent of circumstances, basically. But if anything new were to come up, I'll definitely let you guys know. Okay. All right, so now talking about some fights that have been announced for UFC 300. Okay, so this fight card, let me just tell you from personal experience, it feels like UFC 200 was literally yesterday. When UFC 200 was announced, everybody was just, you know, fainting left and right. Or like, oh my God, I can't believe the UFC's come this far. And I remember how amazing those fights were on the fight card, and just... oh my goodness, it was just such an amazing event, right? And fast forward 100 more pay-per-view events, because of course we've been having a lot of fight nights, UFC fight nights, and, you know, the Dana White Contender Series and all the other events that were had by the UFC in the meantime, which were all great. But this, like, the number in and of itself, this is a major milestone card, and the UFC knows it, and the UFC knows what to do to sell tickets for it. Speaking of ticket sales, they haven't started yet, but the fight is supposed to happen on April 13th, and as of tomorrow, well, I mean, today is January 31st, tomorrow is going to be February 1st. I feel like they should start selling the tickets sooner than later. I don't know if there's going to be like a UFC VIP experience happening first, and that like, people who are part of that VIP club are going to have access to ticket sales first before anything, or what's going to happen in general. But yeah, the ticket sales have not started yet, surprisingly. And I really do wonder if this has anything to do with the fact that we currently do not have an official main event for UFC 300. Because if even if you go on the UFC website and you search up UFC 300, the main event says TBD versus TBD. So this leaves room for a lot of possibilities for who can potentially be fighting on this fight card. So there's many ways of going about doing this. One way is you go through the current list of people who are going to be fighting on UFC 300 as is, and just kind of like eliminate those people from your like the list of all fighters that the UFC has. And then, so that's one way definitely that you can be doing it. Second way is you have to think about, okay, who has been a good fighter, a well-known fighter, a superstar fighter who brings a lot of attention to every single fight that they have, but also they haven't fought in a while, as in they haven't fought in the like the last pay-per-view card, or maybe like the second last pay-per-view card. Because for somebody to be fighting this early, they have to have that recovery period and that break from their previous fight. So these are some of the criteria that I need to be keeping in mind when going forward with you predicting who's going to be fighting for the main event of the evening. Now, there has been certain rumors about that. many rumors about who is going to be the main event. But overall, some people are also saying that maybe the UFC is going to leave that as a surprise. And then the next thing you know, you just like for the first time see who's actually fighting when people, when the fighters actually walk into the octagon, when they do have to walk into the octagon on April 13th, and the UFC just keeps it a secret or whatever. I feel like that's going to be a little bit of a pain in the butt, in all honesty, because obviously, you know, if you're a sports fan, you just want to, first of all, you want to get hype and just excited for the fights that are about to come up. And imagine if you're a fan wanting to pay money to go watch these fights live in person in Las Vegas, right? And you, of course, like, if it's a fight, if, I mean, obviously not that it will happen, like me saying it, but if it's a fight between two mediocre fighters, like maybe that would just change your mind altogether about wanting to get tickets to go watch the fights live in person versus if you knew, like, for example, oh my God, like if John Jones were to fight, oh, of course you're going to get your tickets to just fly on the next flight to Las Vegas right away, you know, or if, like, I don't know, like George St. Pierre were to fight, or I don't know, whoever gets to fight, like you want to know who is going to be at the forefront of this card so that when you buy the tickets for however much they're going to be, which I'm assuming are going to be pretty expensive for this milestone event, you're like, okay, thank goodness, at least I get to go watch this like superstar fighter. This is a once in a lifetime opportunity, whatever, right? So I feel like they would, like, for the sake of ticket sales, they would have to reveal it at some point. But it's just concerning that the fight is two and a half months away, literally, and they still haven't come down on like who the main event is gonna be. Not gonna lie though, if it was a surprise thing, I feel like it would still be really, really exciting. It would have been such a WWE moment, actually, ironically, but we'll see. Time will tell. Time will tell. However, speaking of some rumors on who is set to be fighting on this fight card for the main event, there has been some suspicions in that I actually read today that... Okay, so let me put it this way. Conor McGregor has been set to be potentially involved with the main event of UFC 300, but his opponents are kind of like flaky, if that's the right word to use here, because we don't know who he's actually going to be fighting against. The first option, the first prediction rather, has been that Conor McGregor is going to be fighting off against Michael Chandler, who is his opponent in the Ultimate Fighter reality show, because that's what the coaches usually do. You know, their fighters, their teams, they will get to fight off against one another. And then at the very last fight, the coaches would get to fight each other as well. And I mean, naturally and logically, it would make a lot of sense for Conor McGregor to be fighting off against Michael Chandler. Somehow, I don't know why, people aren't advertising that as much. And listen, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes of things, or if there's been drama, or if there's been talks of like something else. I don't know what's going on, but that matchup is not even talked about as much as other matchups are being talked about for Conor McGregor, which is, in all honesty, kind of concerning. I'm not going to lie, because if there's any matchup that's logical for Conor McGregor, and that's just supposed to happen, like technically happen, is this matchup against Michael Chandler. For other matchups, as exciting as they are, I feel like they just don't make sense. And I have to be honest with you guys, but that's just my take on it. Because, okay, one of the big fight rumors that have been discussed over the past few days for UFC 300 main event is a supposed fight that's going to happen between Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz. So that's something, right? That, listen, let me tell you that this fight in and of itself is going to be exciting because, I mean, on one hand, we have Conor McGregor. Great. Okay. Like, we already know he's going to bring in a lot of viewership and a lot of hype to the fight card. But also his longtime foe, a guy who's fought two times previously in the past, a UFC like favorite, Nate Diaz. That's a great matchup, right? But does it make sense? Absolutely not. And I'm keeping it 100 with you guys because, you know, I mean, of course, I'm a huge fan of Nate Diaz. Feel like as much as I don't really enjoy Conor McGregor, like the person that he is, the persona that he brings into the octagon, I would just tune into whatever fight that he has because, you know, like it or not, he is arguably one of the biggest superstars in MMA history, period. Like, that's a fact, right? Doesn't matter if I like him or not, I would still want to watch him fight. But is this the fight that's to be made? And the answer is no. And I'd be actually very surprised if the UFC makes that as the main event of the evening. Oh, time will tell. But I really wouldn't. I mean, it's good to see that matchup, but I wouldn't want to see it as the main event of UFC 300 because, in my opinion, it just doesn't make sense. Nate Diaz has been out of the octagon for years. So has Conor McGregor. I don't know if Conor McGregor has been back in training camp because of all the Ultimate Fighter shenanigans and the potential fight between him and Michael Chandler and also the movie that he did with Jake Gyllenhaal called The Roadhouse, which is actually pretty phenomenal. We'll talk about it on another episode. But he's one of the main characters in that movie, acting as a MMA fighter, actually. And I feel like for that movie, like, he had to get some training in, although questionable if the training was like competition level, because yeah, of course you can like go into the gym, pump some iron or whatever, and you'll get your pump, you'll look buff, you can come out and actually do your acting, but that's 100% different than the type of training that you would be doing when you're approaching a legitimate MMA fight. So these are all the things we should be asking ourselves and considering when thinking about do these matchups make sense for Conor McGregor? Because is he well trained right now? Is he ready to fight in 2.5 months? 2, ring rust, man. Like, he has not been inside the octagon for so long, and that's 100% going to play a role. And, you know, do we tolerate that sort of sloppiness for such a milestone event for the UFC? I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm being too harsh right now, but I can only imagine that people like Dana White and other matchmakers at the UFC wouldn't want to see that. I mean, yeah, Conor McGregor, the name is big. He's a big character, whatever. He brings in a lot of viewership, but speaking of the fight in and of itself, I don't know if it's going to be a good fight, okay? Because we just don't know. Like, where is his mindset? Is he actually taking this seriously, or what's going on? We don't know anything about that. So that's why it would be risky to have Conor McGregor have or be one of the headliners for UFC's 300 main events. There was another thing I wanted to say, but it kind of escapes my mind. So, you know, these are all the things we have to be keeping in the back of our minds when thinking about, okay, who is going to be fighting for the main event of UFC 300. If I have to be honest, you guys, I would love to see a heavyweight fight. And I know that there has been some things with John Jones and his injury. And I think originally it was supposed to be John Jones for the main event of UFC 300. But hey, who knows? Maybe he will pull a John Cena out of nowhere and just like randomly walk into the octagon UFC 300 main event. He's like, psych, that was a fake injury. I just wanted to hype the fight up and just surprise everybody. Just imagine that, right? But, when I think about somebody like John Jones, that sort of matchup makes sense for being to qualify for the main event of UFC. Such a big event like UFC 300, because John Jones, yeah, like, the name is big, he's a really phenomenal fighter. Yeah, he's been kind of out for a little bit because he got that injury that he had, but his fights have been more recent in the UFC compared to Conor McGregor, believe it or not. So if anything, I would choose John Jones to be fighting on the main event compared to Conor McGregor, but I totally understand that the UFC has certain business responsibilities, and, you know, the biggest goal of this event is to bring in viewership. And to do that, they've made the card absolutely stacked, but also they are going to have to load it up with a lot of fighter superstars. Like this is the sort of fight card that people are going to look back on in years and say, wow, I wonder who fought on UFC 300. Like it must have been such a phenomenal event. And then you go through the list of fighters like, oh, that makes sense. Like this person was so big back in their time, whatever. So yeah, the UFC does have to make it kind of big, bringing in like notorious fighters, not ironically, no pun intended, because you know it's the notorious Conor McGregor. But yeah, we want to see big fighters fight on this card, but also we want to have fights that actually make sense, right? Like just because somebody is big in name doesn't mean that they're actually going to be having a good fight on this fight card. Hence why I do not agree with the fight announcement between Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz, because it just does not make sense. It does not make sense, period. I've said what I had to say. I'm just going to leave it there, okay? But we'll see. Time will tell what's going to happen for the main event of UFC 300. But talking about some of the other fights that are going to be happening on this fight card, and of course, when it's fight week, we'll be talking about these fights in more detail. So far, it's been announced that Zhang Weili, who's the women's strawweight champion of the UFC, is going to be fighting off against the number one contender in the strawweight division, Yan Xunan. And this fight is going to be so good. Arguably, these are the two top women in women's MMA right now in the UFC. Of course, 100% of the UFC, if not holistically in the whole community of MMA. And I'm really, really excited to see this fight. It's going to be one of those technical fights. And if you really want to see what women's MMA is all about, if you want to see what it's like to fight like a woman, you have to be watching this fight because, oh boy, you will be humbled 100%. So other than that, there are some other amazing fights that are happening on this fight card. The second last fight of the evening is actually going to be for the BMF belt on the line. If y'all remember, the BMF belt goes to the baddest man on the earth, you know, to keep it PG style, I guess. And the current BMF champion is the one and only Justin Gaethje, who's going to be defending his quote-unquote BMF belt against Max Holloway, the former featherweight champion Max Holloway. And oh boy, this is going to be one of those brutal fights that is going to accompany a lot of entertainment, a lot of violence, no exhaustion. Both guys are going to bring it on. In my opinion, it's going to last the full fight. It's going to go to decision because both guys are just going to bring it on, and it's going to be one of those, in my opinion, it's going to be a slugfest, but it will be a very memorable fight. So those are among some of the amazing fights that we're going to having for UFC 300. And I would love to talk about these fights more, but I'm just looking at the clock right now. Unfortunately, that is all the time we're going to be having for this week, y'all. Make sure you go to cfru.ca to catch up with previous episodes. You can also go to Spotify and Apple Podcasts to download our episodes. And until next time, it's your girl, Janan, right here. And this is TKO. Peace out.